She has also spoken to Mom's Connection before, so this is a fun experience to have her back. She and her husband, Dave, have been married for 31 years. Before children, she worked at Eli Lilly in sales and then human resources. She and Dave do marriage and parenting for several years and has a discipleship group through Titus II. She also works with college kids, helping them for PIPs and full-time positions, which is pretty cool. She and Dave have 3 children. And I love your sleep-deprived moment, Anne.
Gosh.
Her most obvious sleep-deprived moment was when she and her husband started to leave their house without their baby. It was their first. So anyway, they were both sleep-deprived. Yeah. If you could just give Anne a warm welcome.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I got the lapel. Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, I'm so glad to be here today. We're going to talk today about finding and living out your identity in Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you got one. Okay, that might help us go along a little bit in a more organized fashion if you want to take notes or just kind of see where I am in the talk. Let me just open us up in prayer real quick. Okay. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here with these wonderful women and just their hearts for you and as mothers. And I just pray that these words today would be pleasing to you. May they be an encouragement. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I was a bad mom. My sons were 5 and 4, and we were at the zoo waiting in line for the train. Do they still have a train down there? Okay. So we were waiting in line for the train. I was there with my friend who is a pastor's wife with 2 perfectly behaved little girls that she had. They were 4 and 3. And then I had my daughter in a stroller, and she was 6 months old. So I was talking with my friend, and all of a sudden I heard this burst of laughter. And I looked over, and there were my boys. Over this little concrete building that you wait at, making all sorts of little designs with them. And these women were just howling, laughing, and I was mortified. And I was also embarrassed, and I said to myself, okay, I obviously haven't taught them how to behave in public, and I am a horrible mom. And a blessing aside, I do have to tell you this, the women that were laughing had those WWJD bracelets on, what would Jesus do? And so I think they had, my husband and I decided we were going to take all 3 of our children to a fancy restaurant for a special occasion. They were 2, 5, and 7. A feeling of dread came over me because as we walked in, I saw all these skeptical looks of the people that were working at the restaurant, and I thought, oh no, what are we into? But then we proceeded to have dinner, and surprisingly, the kids were polite, and they ordered some kind of interesting foods that I think surprised the server, like when my son ordered calamari, and they thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. They sat quiet time. Instead of having a skeptical look, our waiter started to smile, and then he and his manager came over and complimented the kids. And I thought, well, maybe I'm a good mom after all, you know, kind of patting my back and taking credit for their good behavior. But see, in both cases, my identity was tied to the behavior of my kids. So pastor and author Tim Keller recently taught about identity. I want to share with you some of his helpful explanations as background. This is where the outline is going to come in handy for you guys. He took his material from The Making of Modern Identity, and it helps explain two main categories that mankind falls into when it comes to identity. So just hang in there because it's going to get a little detailed right now. So we're going to go first to what identity is in the first place. So let me just write out the definition of identity. Okay, so identity, I'll just tell you, is the distinguishing character or personality of an it answers 3 questions. These are the 3 questions. What am I like? And that's whatever you live for is your identity. What am I worth? How true you are to your core commitment in life. And who gets to say? The person or people who validate us. The first identity we're going to look at is traditional identity. Now that is formed from the outside in, and we reorder our lives to align to the outside expectations of that, which would be family, community, or culture. All of this, I'm just gonna use literature. This is what Tim Keller used too, so it's not original. But you all familiar with Lord of the Rings? Okay, so Frodo would be this kind of person where he sacrifices as the ring bearer to go destroy the One Ring in the Fire Mountain of the community. So he's sacrificing himself for the community, and his identity is that. Now, traditional identity says that, we're going to go to this next identity. This is traditional identity. Okay, so that was Frodo. He was what he was doing. That was his identity. It says, when you're defined that way, what am I like? That's defined by your role. So you could have an identity based on whatever you're doing, whether you're working as a doctor, whether you're a mom, whatever you're doing, you're defined by that. What am I worth? That's how well I do at my role. And who cares about how well I do my role? Okay, so we're going to apply this to motherhood. So if your role is just motherhood, you define yourself, first of all, what are you? You're a mom. What am I worth? Well, your worth is determined by how well your kids are doing. Who gets to say? Society, which would include family, community, teachers, anyone that determines how well you're doing. And they determine that based on how they judge your children. So your response would be in this role, whatever they're doing, you succeed. But if your kids make bad decisions, they behave badly, they fail in school, you fail too. And if your child is your identity, and the unfortunate thing would happen where you lose that child, then you can completely fall apart if your identity is as a mom. All right, so the second identity we're going to look at is modern identity. Now, this is formed inside out. You see a lot of this in today's society. Aspirations. Then you demand that your community aligns with your identity. You define your own right and your own wrong, no matter what your family, community, or culture says. Believe it or not, an example of this is Elsa. In the song Let It Go, she sings, "It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free." So modern identity says that you are your desires. We can read that. So modern identity says you are your desire. So in the everyday example of motherhood, as a mom, everyone in the family is independent and autonomous and needs to find their own truth and happiness. So each member pursues what's best and true for them to the potential neglect of the rest of the family. We'll typically take care of, I did something wrong. Okay. The mom will typically take foremost rather than sacrifice for the family. It discourages moms from offering guidance or discipline to shape kids since they're responsible for figuring out their lives themselves. And then the last thing is, anyone in this mom's community, I think this is depressing these kids, my talk. I am so sorry. It's a tender. With how she identifies as a parent, she will reject. So she won't take counsel or advice from anybody. So the gospel, by God's grace, is the only identity that is neither traditional, where you live for the approval of others, or modern, where you live for yourself while demanding everyone aligns to your point of view. It's the only identity that is received and not achieved because of the free and willing sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ for our sins and given a new identity in Jesus Christ himself. So, in Jesus Christ, if our identity is in Christ, I'm just going to put it over here. We are a new creation. Okay. So when you answer the three questions about identity in Jesus Christ, what am I like? Well, we are like Jesus Christ. The old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in the earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What am I worth? The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. You'll have to change this on your little outline. The New Living Translation says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, and all that he's done for us who are united with Jesus Christ. You, by his grace, when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done about it. But we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. All right, so then who gets to say what we are in Christ? Well, our Creator God does. 1 Peter 1:3, thank you, New Living Translation says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Though we are new creations, we'll continue to battle our flesh as believers. We can still fall into the identity trap of either living out identities that seek the opinions of men or our own selfish desires. And as believers, we aren't left to battle our flesh on our strength. Praise God. Instead, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to equip us to live our identity in Christ, but we still will battle our flesh, and this truth is summarized in Galatians 5, 16, 18, and it says, then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, but it's just the opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. So living out our identity in Christ doesn't mean that our struggles in the flesh will end. And as believers, we are living testimonies of Christ's love, living in the same way of those who do not know the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:3 attests to this. It says, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? So many times, instead of being a refuge for one another in the Christian community, especially in the same stage of life that we're all in, and when it's really needed, we find ourselves being no different than unbelievers. Yet, we can live out what equips us, Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So remember from back when I talked about Ephesians 2:10, when it says, for we are God's masterpiece, and he's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. This truth and then the power of some examples of things that we typically struggle with, not just as human beings, but as moms, and not just at your stage of life, but forever, okay? So we tend to compete, and the power of the Holy Spirit can help us go from being competitive to collaborative and working together. So see, we moms can compete about everything, how quickly our kids develop, how well they do in school. We even can compete about who's having the harder day. But instead of competing, let's just try to be supportive, and not the quickest way to joy is to serve others. The quickest way to misery is to serve ourselves, and I think that's also true where we think. The quickest way to joy is to be self-absorbed. Quickest way to misery is self-absorption. Quickest way to joy is to think and pray for other people. We can also, here's another example, we compare ourselves, right? But instead of comparing ourselves, it's a freedom that we have when we can acknowledge the unique gifts of other people. So, Kathy, I'm actually using an example. How many years did we work for our little art camp that we had, like 4 or 5? Yeah, fine arts camp. It was what?
Fine arts camp.
Yeah. Okay, so any of you that know Kathy know that she is really brilliant when it comes to creative arts, and I am craft handicapped. Like that over there, no. I would not even go near it. I mess things up in a big way, but yet instead of comparing myself to her and feeling able to give me reasonable things to do to help get what the scenery put up and stuff like that. I could paint, you know, I could tell kids what to do. But I really appreciated her gift because I know that it's unique. I know it's wonderful. And instead of feeling less than that, I was able to work with her and embrace her gift. So, what? Yes, thank you. Yeah. Another thing we do is we can be jealous. I have a friend who's an excellent cook, and my boys are really good friends with her boys, and they actually prefer her food. And it hurt my feelings for a while. But then, because they'd come home and they go, oh, she made us the best meal, and we had this and this and this and this and this, and I'm thinking, how in the world does she do that? So I was kind of envious of that, but then I was able to acknowledge, okay, this is great. She's loving on my boys, and she's actually feeding them for me, you know? So it's fun to hear when they come home from her house, okay, what did she serve you? So we can be easily offended, right? But instead of being offended, let's let it go in one ear and out the other. Or if you're still upset about something, then talk to the person, talk it out, and be quick to forgive. We can have a judgmental attitude, right? But instead of a judgmental attitude, let's have a loving attitude. Rather than judging a person who's sinned, let's reach out and help them that I'm guilty of. Instead of seeking God first, I may call up a friend and tell him I'm struggling, you know? And instead, we're supposed to seek God first because a lot of times he will settle, practically every time, he will settle our hearts. He'll get us to see the situation more clearly. And then if he guides us to talk to someone and have counsel, then he'll do that. But go to our Father for prayer before calling a friend. Another thing that we can deal with is anger. One time I remember this was only by the God's grace, that there was a family member that was yelling at me, and rather than yelling back, which I really wanted to, or walk away, I ended up hugging the person. You know, that was a shocker. But it was the Lord really moving me to do that, and that person calmed down. They just needed to be understood. They needed to be loved. Being prideful, which happens a lot, we need to, by God's grace, turn that into humility. So instead of taking credit for those times, let's acknowledge that that's God's grace and that it's kind of a miracle that he's been able to work in their lives. So, of course, we won't always react the right way to others, and there are more examples we could go through. But the point is, we are equipped for everything we need for life and godliness in order to respond to situations because we're grounded in Christ. In Christ, we're even able to experience the worst thing we can imagine, like losing a child, without being completely destroyed. When my brother died. I saw my parents experience this in a way that was very difficult because it was the most unimaginable thing you can go through as a parent. And we grieved deeply for years together. Obviously I'm still a little bit there because I didn't expect that. But I watched them persevere. By God's grace, even the suffering, and it did not destroy them. So I hope that never happens to you, but I wanted to bring that example up because a lot of people will say, I can follow Jesus unless, and they have an unless over here that says, but if he ever does this, I'm out. And I've talked with women like that, and there's nothing that can destroy us if we are in Christ. So my challenge today to us all is to seek each and every day through discipline and self-sacrifice to live out 2019. It's still January, right? So we can make this our goal, and in doing so, bring glory and honor to God. But we need to look at some practical ways of doing this. And some days for you all in the stage of life that you're in, it may just be a few minutes here and there throughout the day. So number one, daily renew your mind by reading the Word of God. And the scripture reference for this is Romans 12, 2 and Colossians 3, 16. And then if you're struggling with something, struggle and immerse yourself in it as a reminder in how to live. Now, I had to do this when I kept getting impatient with my children, and as a result, they would respond to me in anger. And so I wrote out the verse Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I put that on note cards all around the house and in my car. Just a reminder, because I didn't want to constantly provoke them. Instead, I wanted to train and instruct them. Seek intimacy. Numbers 5:17 is the reference there. Number three, be in regular worship with other believers. And a reference there is Colossians 3:16 and Hebrews 10:25. Number four, be in regular peaceful fellowship with other believers. Ephesians 4:2-3. Seek their help and ask another believer to hold you accountable in a specific way if you need help. Whether it's to be more faithful in working on a spiritual, if that person needs help with sin, you can hold them accountable. Living out our identity in Christ will also impact our roles as mothers to our children with the help of the Holy Spirit. So this is where we have the privilege and the importance of discipling our kids. We have the opportunity to just show them the joy that is present in following Christ, even in those years of sleep deprivation, changing diapers, potty training, incessant crying, whatever it may be, in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can teach them a love for the Word of God by acting out Bible stories, letting them see God's Word come alive. Now, our kids like to do this when they were little. Our oldest always managed to be the hero. So, like, if we were doing David and Goliath, he was David. Our middle guy, Neil, was always the villain. So he was Goliath. And then Elizabeth, she was like part of the landscape. So she was either a rock. Got a little older, but they gave her more parts as she got older. You know, she didn't type. But it did. I will have to say, we had the best time acting out scripture, and it really helped that story solidify in their mind and their hearts. We can also teach our children the discipline of prayer by praying regularly with them. And they love to do that with mom and dad and with one another. But most of all, we can help them be in awe of Jesus by telling them just how much he loves them and that he gave his life for them. One day, they may too have their identity in Christ. So before I close, I do not want to assume that everyone here in this room even has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I also don't want to assume that there aren't some of you struggling in your faith right now. If that is the case and you want to talk to me or any of the leaders here in Moms Connection, just see one of us afterwards, because we don't want this moment to go by if there's something you're struggling with or if you really want to know more about Jesus himself as your Lord and Savior. Help keep your identity grounded in Christ. Continually remind yourself. You're going to have to preach this to yourself all the time. But remind yourself what Christ has done for you, and then asking for help from the Holy Spirit, seek to live it out. Your identity in Christ, as it is written in Philippians 2:1-11. And I'm going to close reading this scripture, which is just so rich about Christ's love for us. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was not God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
There are discussion questions on your tables, so we're going to go right into that time. Go through those questions, and then we'll do time for Global Mom Prayer at the end. And then that'll be a lead-in, too, to have some prayer time with your table. So grab those questions and enjoy some discussion time.